This podcast replay is brought to you by EJDConstruction.com. Call Eric at EJD Construction at 305-433-4843. They do it all, residential or commercial. EJDConstruction.com is the custom home builder and general contractor you can trust. 305-433-4843.
Who's the one that's been sidelined for almost 2 weeks? Who's the one with sickness? Oh, you've been hanging around with Channing Tindall?
Oh, yeah. A little bit, yeah. My buddy Channing.
How concerned are you with some of the injuries or any injuries?
Well, the fact that X was back on the field today, albeit on a limited basis, certainly is good news. And then Sam Madison said earlier today that he's fully expecting him to play. So that's good. Teron Armstead's going to remain a mystery, I guess, every week, because while he doesn't need the practice because of his credentials and all that, you look at the injury report, it doesn't have any designation whatsoever of injury related, of vet rest. It's strictly toe.
Right.
Both days, both yesterday and today.
Yeah, but it's probably really precautionary and they're just, whatever, just put it's, toe.
Yeah, no, yeah. But correct, but it also, the possibility exists that he played on an injured toe last week. And it's not like Mike McDaniel is going to volunteer that, by the way, he aggravated the injury and all that. So obviously there's reason to remain optimistic that he's going to play Sunday, but there is still a degree, however small, of uncertainty there. Outside of that, the two tight ends are not practicing, but then again, they can go into a second consecutive game with just the three tight ends, Gesicki, Smythe, and Tanner Connor. So,
okay.
And the flip side of that is Buffalo's got quite the list of injuries too.
Yes.
And you notice today, no Micah Hyde, no Jordan Poyer, and no Dane Jackson. That's three starting cornerbacks. I mean,
we just talked to Jay Skursky from the Buffalo News right before you, and he was talking about all the. In fact, he picked Miami to win.
I can see that.
Yeah. He picked Miami to win, he said, because of all the injuries, short week, getting him by surprise with all this, that he's actually picking – he's been impressed, in fact, with Miami. Looks like he wasn't a Tua guy, but now he's kind of getting – you know, he's – like a lot of people, they're trying to get convinced about him or whatever and all that, because obviously the jury's still out on him and all that. But he actually picked Miami, which – That's very interesting. I took Miami yesterday +6.5. So I said,
I like
it went down to six, but I was like, you know what, man? Because really, Alan, if you want to be what you want to be as a team, right? And as McDaniel said, you want to be good team. Well, you got to go beat the good teams, right? Well, on Sunday, you have to have a hell of a performance. You don't even have to win. But you have to – it can't be 35-10. It can't be what's gone on the last few years, because then you're going to go, oh, aberration 2-0. Yeah, aberration, you beat the Raven. Aberration, you beat the Pats. Oh, and the Pats are terrible. You'll make the Pats even look even worse with that. You know what I mean? So in order to make Dolphin fans feel well or convince the periphery out there that if the Dolphins are for real, you either have to beat the Bills – or you have to play a close game, lose by a score or something, but there can't be another route this week, right?
Well, it's not because we want because
you know what I mean.
There won't be a route. I just think it's a different Dolphin team, and again, for Buffalo against the Rams and against Tennessee, it was kind of like a both perfect storm type of games. I mean, Buffalo's really, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, are they 72-17 better than the Rams and Tennessee combined? I mean, that's there. Like I said, and the fact that they're so damn banged up, that's going to make a difference. And
especially where they're banged up, because that's Miami's strength.
No, correct. And the Dolphin defense. I wrote a story about this. I think it was yesterday. They held the Bills' offense in check pretty much the first half of both games last year.
Exactly. It was the second half when right.
Thing, yep. And that's not going to happen this year, because even though the Buffalo pass rush is going to be a problem, Tua is going to get some pressure at times, like he didn't get against Baltimore, and he might get sacked three or four times.
Yeah.
That's fine. But to me, Mike McDaniel's genius and his creativity is good enough. It's impressed me enough to the point where I'm confident that he'll come up with some stuff, maybe more quick hitting stuff.
Exactly.
To counteract that, you could see more screen passes, for example, which is a way to slow down a rush.
That's exactly what I just told Jay Skursky, that I expect quick decisions and the running backs to be factors coming out of the backfield because of that pressure. I can see Mostert and Chase popping out to the flats and Tua just dumping it off to them and just, you know, let them do what they do all the time. And I would imagine some bubble screens and maybe put Tyreek and Waddle in motion at times to create even more confusion, more advantages, because, of course, you're going to have a whole bunch of backups out there at safety and at corners.
Correct. And I did the research, like the numbers again, the game against Baltimore Dolphins at 218 yards after catch. I mean, that's a good number. And I would expect they're going to have a pretty high number again against Buffalo. And again, as you mentioned, on the road, short week after a Monday night. Yeah. No, like I told you before, I think I told you Monday that my bold prediction before the season, before I had seen the Dolphins play, was that they would end the losing streak in week three here. And there's nothing I've seen to change my mind, really. And that's including as good as Buffalo's been the first 2 weeks.
Something I talked about, and like your thoughts on this. Not only has Miami exercised the demon in the Baltimore Ravens, because obviously, just like the team they're playing on Sunday, the Ravens have owned them. And they went and beat them last year at home, and then they beat them this year on the road. But to me, what stood out in this game, you saw Duvernay get the Malachi crunch. Lamar Jackson not practicing on Wednesday with the elbow injury. He didn't even throw a pass. You saw Alec Ingold just level and hit people all over the place. I saw Robert Hunt get a dude and just, like, squash him. It wasn't a pancake. It was worse than a pancake. It was a pancake that flopped over several times. What I saw was Miami not only won, but Miami gave the Ravens a taste of their own medicine. They didn't beat them just with finesse. They also punched them in the mouth, which is not something we're used to, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Agree or disagree on that?
Well, I mean, they won on offense because of the big plays and the speed and the passing and all that. It wasn't like they pounded them into submission.
No.
But so I think it would, that was more an issue. And it wasn't just that the Dolphins that hadn't won at Baltimore. They'd gotten smoked.
Yeah.
If you remember, like 40-0, 38-6.
Yeah.
They hadn't even been competitive, and they'd been blown off the field. And maybe trying to match like power with power where they couldn't hang. Now they can hang, even though that's not their game. That's their game defensively to me. Like they have a very physical defensive line. And Landon Roberts, while not great in coverage and all that, that guy's a thumper in the middle of that.
Amen.
I mean, let's give the guy his credit. He has balled big time the first two games.
Oh, yeah. No, I like Landon. He just has that weakness that you're talking about, of course. And listen, it's not easy to find that middle linebacker that can thump and then also – drop back and run. That shit is very difficult to find, and I'm sure they want to find it. I'm sure they're looking for it. You know, they brought Bernardrick McKinney was another guy they brought in last year because he's a thumper. That's kind of what his game is, but he also has the same kind of limitations. It's not an easy thing to find that linebacker. You know, everybody thinks Derek Brooks grows on trees and shit. You know, that's not normal, man.
No, and McKinney's a weird one to me because he had actually some pass rush ability, I think, one year in Houston.
Yes,
and then
yes.
Dolphins dumped him, and that dude's, like, disappeared. I don't even know if he's still in the league anymore.
Yeah.
No, so going back to your point.
But I saw more physical presence by Miami in this game than I'd seen, I don't know, in years.
Well, that wasn't a very high bar. If we're going to compare it to what they'd shown in previous games at Baltimore – yeah, they got pushed around big time.
Dude, Alec Ingold alone put a highlight reel together. Just him alone. But I saw some guys on the offensive line, you know, hit some people. I just thought it was nice to see, you know, that they sent messages all over the place. And then when you see Duvernay go out And then you see now Lamar Jackson's banged up. You know, it's nice to see that Miami also can play a little physical. And you need it, bro, because, again, this is the same thing. This is a better monster that you're dealing with. And this is a monster that can just pummel you into submission. And they've done it already several times to the Dolphins. So they've got to respond the same way. And they've got to bring some of the toughness that they showed in the Ravens game. They've got to bring it to this game for sure, man.
And I did, to me, I hate to be the contrarian here, even though.
Go for it.
I guess that's what I do. But to me, it's going to be more about execution, both on offense and defense, more so than physicality. I think if they start going nuts with the X's and O's and mess with Leslie Frazier's scheme on defense, that's where they'll win the game. And on defense, confuse Josh Allen and frustrate him like you did first half, especially the first half last year in Buffalo. If you remember, it's 3-3 at the half, and they were making him look bad. So that to me is going to be the key, because I don't necessarily – I mean, obviously it helps if you out-physical the Bills. That without a doubt is going to help, and there are certain plays where it's going to make a difference. But ultimately, to me, it's going to come down more to X's and O's and executing those.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Now that you've gone into the locker room a lot – and then you're watching, you know, because when I go in the locker rooms on Wednesdays, you know, I see Tua, and I see him either, you know, talking with different players or watch them play ping pong with Tyreek or whatever it is. Then you watch the MVP stuff and getting slimed and all of that stuff. Is that perception kind of gone already about that he's not, you know, getting along with his teammates or hanging out with his teammates or socializing with his teammates or all of that kind of stuff? Do you think that that's kind of a narrative that's kind of gone already at this point by now? Do people look at Tua differently in that sense? Forget about the play. I'm talking about the personality.
No, I kind of get the feeling it's not even an issue anymore. And again, even to start with, was it really – I mean, he's not, unless he's Bo Callahan, who's like throws a birthday party and nobody goes. Get the reference. Come on. And unless we're talking about that, I mean, who gives a crap? Seriously. But no, that narrative shouldn't. I'm not sure it should have been out there in the first place. And if it was, it's certainly gone. And it was, yeah. How shocking that it was Christian Wilkins who slimed Tua for the Nickelodeon thing, right?
Yes. Yes. Walker. Yes. Yeah. But I got to say something. I talked about this. I don't want Christian Wilkins anywhere near celebrations. Nothing. He almost killed Kader Kohou a couple days ago. Bro. He does some things that he did. He did a couple celebrations in the last week and a half that he put some people in danger. He's got a tone down. He had this arm pump that he crashed with one player. And I swear to God, the guy was half his size. And he did it, like, and I'm like, yo, you're going to tear that guy's arm out of his socket. What is wrong with you? And so I was worried that he was going to blind Tua with the slime. Seriously.
Tua on the injury report.
I swear to you, I'm going to track down Christian Wilkins when I see him. If I see him next Wednesday, I'll say, Christian, brother, we got to do something. We got to put some bubble wrap on your ass when it comes to like celebrations, because you are a dangerous cat out there.
That's
bro.
Funny. By the way, that dude is low-key balling too.
Oh, he's awesome. He's awesome. God, he's playing well. He played well last year. I mean, yeah.
No, but last year he had the numbers more so than this year. This year he doesn't have numbers, but he is
disrupting.
Killing it inside. I mean, yes. Big time.
Yeah. He's disrupting. I see it. And it's good because, you know, everybody was on his ass like, oh, well, he's not justifying his draft pick. And he's more than justified his draft pick now the last couple of years. Now, I think you're seeing he's turning into a hell of a player, man.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he's one of those where you have to, like, don't get blinded by the numbers.
Right.
Because that's not what he's asked to do. He's not Aaron Donald. He's not going to get 12 sacks.
Right.
You know, something like that. But he, between him and Sealer who's also – damn, that guy's good. And Raekwon's like picked up his game from last year.
Yeah.
From what I've seen. They don't have a lot of bodies on the defensive line. They only have five listed as defensive linemen, but those guys are solid.
That's a strange position in the NFL because a lot of times it takes young guys a while to figure it out. And yeah, there's those few that will make the quick transition. They're monsters and whatever. But there's a lot of – it's like offensive linemen. There's a lot of offensive linemen that it takes them 2, 3, 4 years to kind of figure it out. Sometimes it takes them to get cut and go to their second team. And Billy – the guy we had here, Billy
– Turner.
Turner. Bro, what's he got, like a 10-year career now already going on? I mean, you know, that's the kind of stuff that happens with linemen. Paul Soliai was useless the first couple of years. Poor kid was, you know, his head was spinning trying to figure out. Hell, I remember when he first started, he had this weird stance where he would stand sideways. Do you remember that with Paul Soliai? And then they finally fixed it, and they had him standing straight up, like, I think year three or something like that. But it all technique and everything changed for him, and then the game elevated for him, and he became a monster. But it's
kind He also had a heart-to-heart. I think Sperano had a heart-to-heart with him, saying, "Get your shit in gear, or
probably
your career's not going to last." And then obviously, and then he became like a hell of a player.
Yeah. It's a strange position. There's a lot of guys at that position that it kind of takes them a little bit to kind of, you know, look. Zach Sealer, I guess he wasn't impressive in his first stop, right? And then he was available to steal from, where'd they steal him from? From the Ravens, right? Right. So you steal him from the Ravens, and there you go. You got yourself a hell of a gem in all of that. It's a really strange position. Would you agree?
Yep. No question. And like I said, the Dolphins are very good at that position.
Yes.
In terms of like run stuffing.
Yeah.
Defensive linemen. I mean, they had the one nasty breakdown when the Lamar long run, but also you take that run away, and the run defense was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm with you there. All right, Bills are favored by 6. What's the prediction for you for this game? What are you doing? What are you picking?
Well, the final prediction, you remember, always Saturdays.
I know.
Okay, the unofficial prediction at this time, I think I've told you, I'm like very strongly leaning Dolphins, actually. For all the reasons that we mentioned. And yeah, I think getting 6 points, not that I'm advocating gambling here or promoting it, whatever, but certainly seems to be the way to go. And here's the other point I would make about the game.
By the way, folks, BetUS, you can get up to 200% in bonuses. Use our code Big O. We'll tell you. Go ahead, gamble. Let's go. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to make a point. This is a game where the potential rewards for the Dolphins are so insanely higher than the potential cost consequences if they lose.
Yes.
I mean, the only way this goes bad for the Dolphins after this is if they get smoked. And
right.
I don't see it.
Right.
If they hang with the Bills and they wind up losing, you'll get another shot at them. You still have to feel good about yourself at 2-1, and if they win and they go 3-0.
And they beat the Bengals, you're 3-1, and you're fantastic, bro. You know what I mean? If you play a good game against the Bills and lose, but then you go and beat the Bengals the following week, and you're 3-1, and you played a good game against the Bills, you should feel really good if you're a Dolphins fan.
No, can I tell you something that you think might be weird? I actually might have a better feeling about the Dolphins winning Sunday than I do at Cincinnati on Thursday.
I get it. Short week. Cincinnati has sucked. They got to get off the schneid. I get all that. There's a lot on the line for them because, as you know, if they lose this week, then they're like, oh, man, we can't lose anymore because we're not going to make the playoffs. So, yeah, you're right. It becomes bigger and bigger for them to win overall. Yeah. I'm with you there on that one. But there's no doubt that there's a lot riding for the Dolphins here. And confidence-wise, too, for that team. Because there's several guys there that haven't had success against the Bills. You start having success against the Ravens and the Bills on back-to-back weeks, two teams that have owned you, that's going to go far for this team, dude. That's going to go
big. But even if they just hang with the Bills, I think that would do good for their confidence. Where the only thing that can't, they can't get blown up. That's the only thing.
Yeah. No.
I don't see it happening, but that's the one scenario where that would be problematic.
All right. Before I let you go, they don't need them, either one. Okay. But do you kind of feel that they're going to surprise us at one point this season and say, Erik Azukama's active, and they're going to use him for, you know, they're probably going to give him a set of plays, or Tanner Connor is active, and they're going to use him for a certain set of plays. I almost feel like, because you don't keep young guys like this when you're 53 and put the time into them if you're not going to do something with them. I don't see them sitting on the bench the entire time. I think at some point, not right away, but some point in the next 6 to 10 weeks, I think we're going to see those cats be instituted at one point or another in some kind of game plan that that he draws up or thinks of.
And I think of those two, I was way more inclined to think it's going to be Tanner Connor before.
Isn't it interesting?
Because remember,
you're deep in the other one, and this guy adds a dimension that you don't have, the speed. I got you.
Well, not only that, but you had to keep Azukama on the 53, because right now they're basically telling you that they like River Craycraft more than they like Azukama. They had to keep Azukama. He was a rookie fourth-round pick. They weren't going to cut him.
Is that not genius roster management? Because technically you're playing with a 53-man roster. Because you know that nobody's taking Craycraft off your practice squad unless San Francisco has a whole bunch of injuries. Oh, he knows their system. Let's bring him over. But if not, nobody's really going to steal Craycraft from you. But Azukama, he showed so much that they'll steal him from you. So you keep him on your 50, on your 53. Oh, so you're playing with a 54-man roster. I'm sorry. And then you put this kid on the practice squad, and now you can activate him at any time. So you're kind of playing with an extra roster spot anyway.
But Big O, remember, it's at a 3-game limit for elevation. So Craycraft's got one more game, and then they'll have to sign him to 53, or they can't use him anymore.
Okay.
So going back to my point.
Good nugget, by the way. Thank you.
The reason they kept Tanner Connor is they were, like, really impressed. And I was told this, like, halfway through camp, that they loved the Tanner Connor. And watching practice, yeah, you can easily see why. So I would think at some point – they're gonna design some place for him.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you there. I had a conversation with him. We put it there on the platform, and he views himself a lot like a Kittle in a way that he wants to run you over after he catches the ball. So it's one of those. I think that's kind of what they want to see if they develop. But you could tell that while he's got the speed and all of that, you still have to develop that body. Because he still doesn't have the strength. He's, you know, I was standing next to him yesterday, and I was like, okay, you got the height, you got the frame, but you've got to fill that frame out in order to really play like Kittle or try to be something that even resembles that at this level. You're gonna have to build that body up, you know.
No, correct. Give him time, though. I think he's got the look of one of those like high achiever type of guys, you know.
So, yeah, I'm with you there.
I think he's got a nice future.
AllDolphins.com, you must subscribe. You are not really a real Dolphins fan unless you subscribe to AllDolphins.com from Sports Illustrated. Alan Pupar drives that page. What are you working on in that page, sir?
87 stories every day.
That's right.
I actually just posted one about X looking back at a rough day. And how that can't happen.
Well, it's a growing injury. Now we kind of know what happened.
It depends when he got hurt.
When I saw him giving Duvernay all that space, I was like, okay, I get you got to respect the speed, but that's like too much space. So it was, you can tell right away the way he was playing. It's like, yo, dude, that's not him.
Well, here's the thing, though. On the 75-yard touchdown, is if you notice, Baltimore went in motion and he kind of got set a little bit late and he didn't look to me like he was completely like necessarily ready at the snap. And then Bateman quickly got inside of him and then he didn't have the angle. But when he chased him down the field, I mean, he wasn't getting lapped by Bateman.
Right.
And X is not necessarily a burner per se. So X wasn't going to catch him. But he was running with him, so yeah. I don't know that if the groin injury happened during the game. I don't think it was at that point. It would be later on.
Yep. Andy says keep Craycraft on the 53 and Iggy Packin. I think they're going to give the entire year. I think Iggy's here until training camp next year. That's what he's playing for. I think it's a whole year of Sam and Pat working with him and see if they can reach him and develop him. And then into next year, that's when he's going to have to show some serious shine, because that's they no longer take cap hits anymore. So they'll they'll be able to cut him with no problem. So really, Iggy has a free ride until next offseason. Really.
Completely agreed.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see if he gets any kind of shot at some point during the season in the secondary, because so far it's inactive, and then special teams only against Baltimore.
Yeah, and the way Kohu's playing.
Correct.
By the way, you better – it's what I said 2 weeks ago when he came out for the first time. Keep him on the outside and leave Needham inside. Do not put Needham outside anymore. I love Needham as a slot. Don't like him as an outside guy. That's just me. Kohu has way more athleticism to play the boundary.
No, and I'll tell you, I'll be very curious to see what the Dolphins do if Gabriel Davis ends up playing Sunday, how they're going to match up outside. Obviously, X will be on one side, but then if they go Needham, you know, that's two pretty studly wide receivers you have to deal with right there. So
hell yeah. No, I'm with you there. All right, follow him on Twitter at PoopHardNFL. And again, alldolphins.com, Sports Illustrated. Make sure you subscribe there or put it on your bookmarks, alldolphins.com. Alan, as always, thank you, my brother. We'll catch up on Monday.
Sounds like a plan. Have a great weekend.
You too, my friend. There you go. Alan Poopard, Sports Illustrated, and our EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins report. And I've been telling you about EJD Construction for about 5 years now. 305-433-4843. Fully insured, liability, workers' comp. Do not hire anybody that is not fully insured. I tell you this all the time. I tell you with Cutter's Edge. I tell you with the EJD Construction. Why? Because if you allow people to work in your home and they're not insured, they can sue you if they get injured. You don't want that. Call them, 305-433-4843. Everything is just on deck there. If you're looking to create a second floor for your home, you need to redo the entire house, you need to build a new room or two, you got to build a family room, a fun room, a Florida room, whatever it is, they can help you out, expand it, reconstruct, remodel that entire home, the backyard. One of our listeners did a whole tiki hut. It's kind of like a tiki. It's not really a tiki. It's a little different, the roof, but it also has a full kitchen, barbecue, grease trap, and everything. It was really cool. I saw the pictures, by the way. EJD Construction, 305-433-4843. Save that number. Maybe you don't need it now. Maybe you need it 6 months from now, a year from now. But make sure you have it. EJD Construction. Call Eric. This is the owner. That's his cell phone. 305-433-4843 for EJDConstruction.com.
You've been listening to the EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins Report with Sports Illustrated's Alan Poopart. For additions, home remodeling, and custom work, call Eric at 305-433-4843. EJDConstruction.com is your custom home builder and general contractor you can trust. 305-433-4843.
All right. Let's see. Alan, most of the time, is conservative in his calls, but today he has given the Finns some cushion due to the short week and the Bills' injuries, I hope. Yep. They do have a little bit of an advantage, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. There is some kind of an advantage overall for the Dolphins with some of the things going into this game. Doesn't mean they're the better team. The better team is still the Bills. But on Sunday, Miami can be better. There's no doubt about it. I feel like they have almost no shot to win this game at all. Normally, it's like I'm afraid of how bad it's going to be. But, God, I just don't feel that way. When I laid the bet yesterday and I got to 6.5, forget it, dude. You know, I'm happy with it. I'm good. They got a shot. They got a serious shot. And here's the, I don't know if it's exciting for us. Well, it's exciting to a certain extent for everybody, but for some people it might not be. And those some people, not bellious some, but some people, I don't know how many people caught that one. Anyway, if you're Inter Miami, you're not going to be happy about this. Because if you are battling for a playoff spot and you have one, well, the Dolphins being really good, that's bad news for you. The Miami Heat, who own this town, okay? They own this town. With all the success they've had, they've been the marquee franchise in this town for 25 years, and there is zero discussion about that. We're not even talking about it, okay? By miles. They are the creme de la creme. But even Heat ball takes a backseat to the Dolphins if the Dolphins are good. So if the Dolphins beat the Buffalo Bills on Sunday, the mania for the Dolphins is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And by the way, remember, you 15-year-olds, you 20-year-olds, 25, 30, 35, 40, you have no idea what it's like in this town when the Dolphins are great. None. Panthers, man, they just had their media day, and they're not getting any shade whatsoever. They're not getting any love. They're getting shade. Why? Because the Dolphins are playing and playing well. It's going to be great for the fan base. One, the Dolphin fan base deserves this and so much more. Our Dolphin fan base deserves a lot. But I'm telling you, if they do go out there and start becoming a good team, that's bad news for all the other teams out there. Like, Heat basketball will not matter till late January or February. Because that's how it's been a few times when they've had a decent team over the last 25 years. There's been enough buzz that'll carry you, and then you, oh, okay, now I'll start following basketball. Where we at least follow basketball all throughout. Summer league, regular season, playoffs, whatever. It's always on our radar because they're the ones that win. They're the ones that are a great franchise year in and year out. But the Dolphins have the power that no team has in this town. None. And if they are great, it's going to be a lot of fun, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Maybe not for some of the pro teams locally because they're going to feel a little bit of the cold shoulder. I mean, yesterday you have your media day, but most of the media is at Dolphins camp. I mean, it was packed yesterday. We were there. What would you say, about 25 media members? About? Yeah, right? About 25?
Yeah. It was packed.
You think they had 25 at the Marlins? Do you think they had 25 at the Marlins, Inter, and the Panthers combined?
No.
Exactly. I mean, Jordan McPherson can only be at one event. I hate to say it. And I saw it. He was at hockey.
I mean, when you have, you know, the four-letter network down here, they're sending people now down to Dolphins camp. That tells you something.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You know, I mean,
yeah. Well, Darlington was there yesterday.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, there,
yeah, Darlington, there was, yeah. And there was one more, right? There was another national person there. It was a writer.
I think there was another writer from the network.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So they had national people.
So we're getting, you know, more attention and more eyes on. I mean, so.
Well,
and that's only going to increase.
The talk shows are loaded now. Yeah, the talk shows are fine.
I'm watching TV right now, and it was they were talking Tua again.
Right.
Looks like it's the network. I think it's it is NFL Network getting ready for tonight's game. Again, more Tua coverage.
Right. And it's fun. It's fun to see that. And listen, as we've talked about this many times. I want young fans to have a lot of fun and success. They deserve it, man. They need it. And the entire Dolphin fan base, us older fans, we'd like to enjoy some really good times again, man. We have not enjoyed
good times in a long time. And when we say good times, we're talking about like every year you're a good team. Every year you've got a shot at the playoffs. And then once in a while you got a shot to be a contender for the Super Bowl. That's what we're used to. I'd like to get back to that. And it'd be so cool to see Mike McDaniel bring that back. But, yeah, the success of the Dolphins will come at a cost for the other teams. And if you want to get the attention, you're going to have to be exceptional. So the Panthers and the Heat are going to have to be exceptional to take away attention from football. Although I will say this, while I'm looking forward to the Heat season in a big-time way, because I think I'm intrigued by, can Oladipo really turn into the guy? Because now that you have given him the green light to become that guy now, so I'm intrigued by that. And then Panthers, Tkachuk, oh, my God. I cannot wait to watch that guy. But I'm a hardcore sports fan, and I love all our local teams. And just like the Dolphins, I desperately want the Panthers to win. Desperately. That's such a great ownership group. Vinny Viola and Doug Seafood, God bless those guys. They do so much. They spend their money. They're trying. They deserve it. But nobody deserves success more than Dolphin fans. They have suffered like so much for 25 years now that they deserve a really, really good team. But it is, if it becomes a good team, you guys are going to see what craziness is. Because this town is going to lose it. Absolutely lose it if the Dolphins are great. You're going to see the kind of buzz and the kind of emotion behind it that you've never seen. And I think it'll be even bigger than it's ever been. Only because of social media and everything else that goes on, people are much more connected now than they used to be. You know, you would have to wait for the paper the next day to get the news. You get the news right away. You know, right there on your phone, it comes up. It's a different world, man. Different world.
I mean, especially now, too. You don't have to just be in South Florida to get the buzz.
Right.
You know, like you're saying with social media, now you feel it everywhere.
Everywhere.
So, and everywhere. They can also send that buzz from where they're at here as well through social media.
Exactly. I mean, this morning, we have people listening from all over the world, you know, and that's because they're South Florida fans. That's why what do we always say on this platform? To South Florida fans all over the world. You know, because I know that this program is not just about the people in South Florida. It's about South Florida fans all over the world. Because we're spread out all over the world. We're not only here. Some of you had to move. Some of you are living with family members, loved ones, job, whatever. You had to move, leave. Doesn't mean you don't love your Heat and your Dolphins, your Canes, your Marlins, your Panthers, your Inter. All that kind of stuff. And that's kind of what we are. We're the conduit to keeping you connected to your local teams. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So Dolphin football will dwarf a lot of things if it explodes. Dolphins should have the advantage again of playing in hot weather this weekend like they did against the Patriots. Very true, my friend. Coco Mata says, being a Finns fan in New England, I pray every year that the Finns will be good. Well, I think you're going to get your prayers answered finally, my man. Fugencio says, Orlando, to be honest, you guys were the only one supporting Tua since the beginning. Kudos to you and Sean for staying consistent with your thoughts. Thank you, my friend. We just use common sense, bro. We just looked around and said, no coaching, no talent. Not the kid's fault, man. It's not his fault. And he's proving us right that it's not his fault. It's just the crap that that Flo put him through, you know. Big O, would be cool to see the Dolphins and the Canes win another championship in the same year. That would be phenomenal. That would be incredible if that ever happened. It would be the first, but it would be nice. What?
It's not going to be this year.
No, it's not going to be this year, no. No. Definitely not. When you talk about QBs with Tua's elite traits, isn't Brady that style of QB as well? Yes. So is Peyton Manning.
but they're taller. So they have an advantage over Montana and over Breeze and over Greasy and over Tua and over Tarkenton because they had a little bit of – so that's another elite trait for them that they're tall. You know, but, yeah, those are they're the exact same quarterbacks in that sense. Because Peyton Manning didn't have a gun either. People don't know that. They'll never say it. Peyton Manning wasn't throwing 80-yard bombs either. Yet, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Joe Montana wasn't throwing the ball 80 yards downfield. Yet, he might be the second greatest quarterback ever. Right? Because I guess Brady beat him. Because Montana was the standard. You know, the short guy that isn't really... Go look at Montana and go look at Marino. Back in those days, go look at his body and go look at Marino. Go look at his body and then go look at John Elway. Go look at his body and then go look at Warren Moon. It's, you know, yeah, you're so right. There's a lot of these quarterbacks that are a little taller than Tua. I just use all the short guys, all the guys that are in that 5'10 to 6'1 range. And I should throw Kyler Murray in there. The thing is that Kyler has these incredible wheels, you know, that really frees him up that none of these other guys have. And that is just a blessing. And I love Kyler Murray. You know why? He's a runner by necessity, not a runner that he needs it to be a quarterback. He only runs when he has to run. If not, he's trying to buy time to make a pass. That's what I love about Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is a real quarterback with athleticism, just like Russell Wilson is a real quarterback with athleticism, whereas Lamar Jackson and Ryan Tannehill are athletes trying to play the quarterback position. Yes, sir.
Social media ruined Kyler Murray for me.
Why? What happened?
Because they put the play where he was running for his life on the – was it the touchdown or the two-point conversion?
Oh, the two-point conversion, yeah.
And they're like, now picture this as a kid running from their parents when they steal their phone. And now I cannot unsee it after watching it now. Every time I watch it now, that's what I see.
That's awesome. Big O, I can understand the Tua haters. I felt the same way about a guy who defied all physical parameters of a franchise QB – but nobody could stop him. Joe Montana. Yeah. Not physically imposing. Not this big arm. And yet, an absolute badass. An assassin. That's what Joe Montana was. Joe Montana was an assassin, bro. He'd cut your heart out. And then smile. While he's cutting your heart out. In Skechers. What's your thought on why there's so much hate for Tua? You probably have not caught my good guy explanation. You may want to, I don't know when that was, 2 weeks ago or whatever. But basically, just to paraphrase it, why do they hate Tebow? Why do they hate Russell Wilson? Why do they hate Tua? Our society is not good with people that are fantastic and the human beings that know how to handle themselves the right way. In everything, we gravitate more to the people that have the same defects we do. It's the weirdest thing in the world. Everybody makes fun of Russell Wilson for what? For being a great man? For being a great father? For being a great husband? For being a great quarterback? I'm sorry. Oh, it was corny. His video for the Broncos. Oh, did you see what he was wearing to the game? Russell Wilson, this, that, you know, it's the weirdest thing with Russell Wilson. The guy is impeccable as a human being, been a great quarterback, a Hall of Famer. The hell are you picking on? Tim Tebow, not a great quarterback at the NFL level, but man, did people want him to fail in a bad way. And why? Because he's just a phenomenal person. We have a problem with phenomenal people. We think they're fake and phony and awkward, and it's crazy, dude. And we do this all the time to people like that. So that's my theory on Tua.
I mean, think about it, bro. You got people wanting Deshaun Watson over Tua. You want an alleged rapist over Tua. Wow. A guy that can play the game at a high level, never get in trouble for you, represent your company in an impeccable fashion, and you want to handle the baggage of Watson and give him a guaranteed contract? A guy that may have raped women? It's a weird world, man. It just is. You got people with free Ray Rice jerseys and shirts. It's strange. It's just strange. I can't explain it. But it happens all the time. This crazy love of mine. Let's see. Jamie Zoria says, oh, my God, Peyton Manning didn't have a gun. Coño, Orlando, you ruined my ignorance. LOL. Perfect cue. It shows the Dolphins at 16 as far as what the value of the franchise is compared to other teams. Imagine if we get things back on track. Yep. But it don't matter. It's not your money. You're not going to enjoy the value. You're just paying for it. Money Mitch says, so why does Murray lose most games second half of the season if he doesn't rely on the run? He gets banged up during the season, then he goes ghost. Happened 2 years in a row. Yeah, he's still a young quarterback. He's still learning how to be consistent. You guys make it sound like it's really easy to become a quarterback. And it takes and remember, he's a shorter quarterback too. So there's another adjustment that he's making at this level. He's done a really good job overall. But you have to be patient with the kid. You know, Rich Gannon didn't find his mojo till, can you look it up what year he got to Oakland? He bounced around from Kansas City and Minnesota. And I don't know if there was another team before he got to Oakland. You tell me there. But I want to say he was in the league maybe 8 or 9 years. Bounced around. Everybody knew he had a gun. Everybody knew that Rich Gannon could run around, too. He was a pretty good athlete. We all knew it. We all saw it. They used to call him Rich Cannon Gannon. But he was inconsistent. And then he gets to Oakland, and he becomes an MVP. Environment, the right team, the right players, the right scheme. Boom. He takes off. Yes, sir. What are you laughing at?
All right, he was on the Vikings from 87 to 92.
Right.
The Redskins, or Washington, 93.
Right.
The Chiefs, 95 through 98.
Right.
And then he got to Oakland in 99 to 2004. The reason I laughed, career highlights and awards. NFL Most Valuable Player, 2002. Two-time first-team All-Pro, 2000-2002. Four-time Pro Bowler, 1999 through 2002. NFL Passing Leader, 2002. Two-time Burt Bell Award, 2000 and 2002.
Yeah, everything with the Raiders.
All awards are with the Raiders.
Yeah. Right, exactly. You know, it's just, you know, Steven Davis didn't find his way as a running back to like year 4 or 5. And then he became a constant Pro Bowler for many years. And before he became a Pro Bowler, do you know what Steven Davis was known for? Do you know what Steven Davis was known for before he became a Pro Bowl running back? Getting his jaw broken by Michael Westbrook. You remember that? Remember when the two got in a fight, Michael Westbrook broke somebody's jaw? It was Steven Davis's jaw he broke. That was Steven Davis's claim to fame. You know, we live in this world where we think this is easy, what they do, and that they're going to make an immediate transition. And Billy Hunter doesn't find a way with the Dolphins, but finds a way to hang out for 10 years in the league after the Dolphins dismiss him. So Kyler Murray, he has shown you a lot. I like Kyler Murray. I really do. I have patience for Kyler Murray because he's a quarterback. He's not an athlete playing quarterback. He's a real quarterback. And for me, that's really important. And he's accurate and he's got touch. I like Kyler Murray. And yeah, he's short. I was more worried about his physicalness at this level. I was worried that if he takes hits, he's not going to last long, which his wheels, there's no way you get clean. He has that Warwick Dunn, Barry Sanders quality to him. That you know, Lamar Jackson sometimes has that too. It's hard to get clean shots on these kind of guys. So he has that gift. But I would tell you to be patient with Kyler Murray. He deserves the patience. He has shown enough progress that you've got to keep going with it. And look, they've paid him not because he's arrived. They're still paying him on potential. I get it. That new contract that's going to kick in eventually, I understand that. But so far, for me personally, I think he has shown enough that I would definitely continue riding the Kyler Murray train if I was in Arizona. So for me, I'm not one of those guys that's lost any patience whatsoever with Kyler Murray. 855-912-1056. If you want to get in on the Welt and Raum text line, you can also reach out to us on Twitter. That's at Big O Show. Follow us there as always, ladies and gentlemen, because that is a 24-hour talk show. By the way, Edge Energy Drink is a proud sponsor of our program. You see it there. We love to live on the edge, baby, with a little Edge Energy Drink. 78 calories. What a joke. Delicious, smooth, and zero aftertaste. I can't say zero aftertaste enough because all I've ever tasted with sports drinks are that stinking aftertaste. And that's why I never have any kind of sports drink until Edge. Until John goes, here, try this. And oh my God. It is awesome. Delicious, smooth, and zero aftertaste. 78 calories. And by the way, you can't get it at a store, but you can get it delivered right to your home. That's right, or office. So go to myedgedrink.com. Use our code BIGO. You'll get 10% off, and you'll get the best energy drink on the planet delivered to your home. Edge Energy Drink. Myedgedrink.com. Use the code BIGO. And get 10% off. Damn it. Spilled some of it on me. So good. That honey and lime has saved my ass, man. What do you think Flo was thinking after seeing Tua's performance? Brother, I think Flo was probably looking for a Tua doll so he could start doing some evil shit to it. That's what I think. They don't play the Steelers this year, do they? Oh, they do? Oh, they do Sunday night. God, they're going to beat their ass. That's going to be awesome. I can't wait to beat the Steelers' ass and Flo. I don't really have anything against the Steelers, but now that they have Flo, I really dislike them. I gotta be honest. I'm a Flo hater. I have legit hate for Flo. The way he treated Tua, the way he tried to screw Chris Greer. And let me tell you something. I got nothing. I got no love for Bill Belichick. But I feel for Bill. That guy helped you, and all you did was screw him. I got no respect for Flo. Zero respect for Flo. So I hope the Dolphins complete all their passes on their linebackers the entire night. Okay? In fact, I hope McDaniel schemes it that linebackers end up covering players all the time. And I hope it comes out after some next-gen stat or some shit that says linebackers have gotten burned in this game more than any other game in NFL history. Oh, and by the way, Brian Flores coaches those linebackers. Tua's former coach. That, my friends, you want to get me excited? You want to get me going? Let's do that.
That game starts a tough stretch on our schedule.
Oh, yeah? Well, what's a tough stretch?
We got the Steelers.
Oh.
Then the Lions.
Oh, my God.
The Bears.
Oh, they're growling.
The Browns.
Oh, they're crapping in their pants.
The Texans.
Oh, God, they have a bad power grid.
49ers.
Oh, that place is a disaster. Homeless people all over the place.
Then it picks up.
Then it picks up where?
Chargers.
Chargers?
Bills.
Those people rent a stadium.
Bills.
Bills? Oh, come on. They're all be on fire landing on fruit tables. What else? And what is it? Packers after that? Oh, give me a break. Them and their little bikes going to the damn stadium. The hell is that? What's wrong with the stinking Packers? Go bike riding to the stadium. Now CO, Flores is not a bad guy to dislike. He tried to destroy QB and a whole organization just because he was all in his feelings. Just think, Flo's getting no more interviews. He sued everybody's team that's ever called in for one. Yeah, that's it. No, he's done. This is his last job. He can enjoy this job. He'll never get another. He'll never get a head coaching job. He'll never be trusted again. All right. Oh, that's a good one. Karen says, Tobin said that when Tua scores against the Steelers, he should practice his golf swing in front of Flores. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. 4 touchdowns on your ass. All right, we are out of here. We thank Jay Skursky from the Buffalo News. Great insight into that matchup. So if you want to check it out, if you missed it, you can rewind or you can catch up on the podcast because that man will put it all together. Alan Poupart, we thank him. We thank, of course, the Brunetti family. Thank you as always. We love the Brunetti family making it nice and easy for us to broadcast here this afternoon. Steve Calabro. And, of course, Frank Fiore and all the great people out here at Hialeah Park will be out here every Thursday now in the afternoon, 3 to 6 p.m. So appreciate all of you out there. We will see you tomorrow morning live from the KSDT CPA offices in Dadeland. Same time, same place, same bat channel. Have a good one.